The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Bright Blonde Wednesday.
It's what Wednesday?
Bright Blonde Wednesday.
I guess, yeah, right? Yours is a lot healthier than mine. Have you always been bright blonde? Because I am naturally the color. Well, I can't show you those hairs, but I naturally have really dark hair. So I started, I think I went, I was like a golden brown throughout my childhood modeling. And then when I got older, I was obsessed with the purple, like maroon, reddish hair. I think I had the bright, not too bright, but red hair. And then I just like blonde. Like, what's your story?
I was born like damn near albino, like can't see eyelashes, can't see eyebrows. Like that's why I draw mine. Like, yeah. So, but up until I was three, when I was three, my hair turned darker to like the darkest blonde, lightest brown, and kind of had a red tinge, like when the sun hit me. But when I was like, oh gosh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I was born with like, so like my, you know, arm hair, leg hair, everything is just like uber blonde. And I don't really have any eyebrows. That's why I have them tattooed on and all that kind of stuff. So, until I was about three, then my hair just the hair on my head just turned a darker kind of like strawberry blonde, reddish, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I have no idea what my hair would look like now. I've been like this since I was 16. So,
and then you do like all kinds of different colors, and so does Velvet Sky, and you change it up all
the time. Yeah, the black is extensions. I don't do, like, I have extensions. I don't, I made the mistake of, so when I was a teenager, before I went blonde, I did like black, and I did like darker red colors. But then, you know, once you go blonde, it's very hard. You get blondorexic if you're not blonde anymore. Like 2 years ago, I did like a darker blonde, but then had like the platinum streaks. And I was like, I need to go back all the way. Like, this is me. This feels like me. So.
Isn't that cool? And I like that because I had somebody tell me years ago when I was transitioning from a different name into like being Goldilocks, they're like, oh, you could never be a blonde. And I'm like, oh, really? And this was like a renowned hair technician in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they're like, oh, that'll never work. So clearly he was right, because I just love it when people have to just stick their big faces in and let you know.
Oh, yeah.
For you or not. Or another time, there was a girl in our band, and she was an interesting girl. She started out good, and then what happens with the girls in the band is they mutiny, and they start to get super jealous, and I'm like all about including the whole band. Everybody's on the promo pictures. Everybody's in the videos. Once in a while, it'll be my face if it makes sense for something like a relationship that we have. But for the most part, I love to include everyone. Prince always taught me that. Everybody on stage should be a character and a star, and you should share the limelight and make it into this big production. And I really got that pounded into my head at a young age. So I want to do that. And I'm always including people. And these girls, they just get so... people, but girls, especially females, they get so freaking weird. And I remember this one telling me, she said, you know, you should really dye your hair black and shave it. Like, really?
Who was it, Dixie Carter that told you that? Because she told me that too.
We're going to get to Dixie in a minute. I don't have heat with her.
That's so funny you said that.
Holy shit, you got some heat with her. And I just have to like, I got to ask about that later. Like, because it's just funny. But before we get into her, she told me to shave my hair and then, you know, like make it jet black and like be a real like butch rocker. And I'm like, no, I said, I like my hair this way. I wasn't asking for her opinion. I didn't need her advice. I didn't need her to chime in. She kept pushing. And I'm like, she's like, well, you know, you're really not pretty that way. She said, you know, people don't think of you as pretty with this hair. And I'm just like, you know, I don't have a problem with anybody.
But shaving your head would be prettier in her opinion?
Apparently it was. And then she said, nobody that's pretty has long blonde hair. And I was like,
what?
Our guitarist kind of said,
what planet is she from?
Our guitarist said, not like Marilyn Monroe or Mae West or Anna Nicole. So she, he just went like down the line.
Pamela Anderson, like, hello. Okay.
She found her way out of the group, and that was time. Like, it, she started doing things behind my back that were mean and cruel, and it was time to go. I don't have any ill feelings with her. Like, chicks just get like that. But the kicker is
insecurity. It's not like we. I mean, that's major in wrestling too. You know what I mean? Like, when people get certain spots and positions, and then new people come in, and the talent and flavor of the month, and all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, it becomes like. It's not about like, oh, the whole show with everybody. It's about like me, my spot, my time, my spot in the locker room. I'm the champion. I'm the da, 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 da. And it's like, but I mean, wrestling breeds insecurity. I mean, I feel like, you know, that that's a very well-known thing.
I do. And I was going to, I'm going to bookmark and come back to that in a second because I got a funny story about that. But to end that story, years later, I see her on Facebook with da-da-da-da. She doesn't have short hair anymore. It's not dark. It is long. And she got blonde extensions to look exactly like me and you. So interesting and funny that you say, and this is a really good take home for everybody listening. I really want you to hear this because when you and Velvet Sky came, you know, here's Vince and I'm just going to shoot all over Vince. I don't hear from Vince. I haven't heard from Vince since March 11th of last year was the last time that I had a phone conversation with him saying, oh, you've got to do the Patreon. You know, you could be, you know, you got to do it. And I'm like, I don't know. What to? I don't do cocaine. I just have a runny nose. I hate something. You got to do it. And I said, Vince, you know, I wouldn't know what to do. And he's like, you know, get with Ben. And I'm like, okay. So I got with Ben. I have not heard from Vince for a year. I've tried to get Vince on my show to kind of do like a catch up. He's so busy. He's getting busier and busier. Now he's a grandfather. He's a dad. He's a husband. Yada, yada, bing. I get it. And then all of a sudden it's like, you got to talk to Angelina and Velvet Sky. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks for making money for me, Vince. And then I talked to you guys and you were great. We did a great Zoom call. And then, you know, I see like all the views that you get and everything. And it's not like I got jealous. There's a difference between jealous or envious can be evil and rooted in. But it's like I have to take a step back. And I just said to Ben, like, I hope that I still have a place on the brand, or I hope that people still will listen to something. And it's like, you can still be in a promotion with somebody and be on the same team and be vulnerable for a minute and be like uncertain. But then it's what you do with that. Are you a cunt? Are you a bitch? Are you a backstabber? You know, and the first thing that I did is ask both of you, all right. And same with Francine. I was like, would you like to, I'm such a Muppet. Like, would you like to come on the show? Like, and even today I did a What a Day with Joel Lowry. And I said, right from the beginning, I want to plug Patreon. But not only my Patreon, I was like, hey, I have one. And so do the beautiful people, Angelina Love.
Oh, thanks.
Well, but it's like, that's what you should be, you know, doing if you come from a place of abundance and there's enough for all.
Well, and you should come on our podcast too. We're only on like, I think we just did like the sixth or seventh episode.
I would love to.
But you should definitely come on too.
I would love to. And like, we have some patrons that, you know, they subscribe and pledge a really healthy amount each month. And I really appreciate them. But I'm constantly trying to tell them, like, you should try online dating, bro. Or you should get some new clothes and shave your pubes and wax your ass or whatever. And, you know, I'm watching some of them do that. And then what's happening is because they're doing that, then our pledges are doing this. And it's like, all right, well, you told them to go do this stuff and they're, but you didn't say, oh, universe, oh God, have them go do that, but then make them more money so that, you know what I mean? So that they can stay where they're at or stay on our Patreon. And at the end of the day, I want people to be good and be happy. So go do whatever you need to do. And if you're not even on our Patreon anymore, if something that I did helped, then
I think that's great advice though. I mean, that's like really good advice. Like, if you're like, you kind of so this kind of is very a very interesting thing that could go deep quickly, and I'm not trying to go deep quickly, but when you talk about like you attract what you are, right? Law of attraction. So like, when I think of some of my relationships in the past, I was like, Jesus Christ, like what was I going through in my life to have attracted that to myself? Like, you know, and people too, who don't take care of themselves. It's like, if you want a relationship, if you want people to think you're, to take care of yourself. Like, I can't imagine somebody's like, you know what? I want the biggest, nastiest slob just farting and burping, just gut hanging out underneath his shirt, with unhealthy, like, ooh, that's attractive. Like, it's, I mean, it's not like not, but I mean, if you're looking for a certain something and that's how you are, you're just going to attract to you what you are. So if you don't want somebody who's also slobby and disgusting, then like, take care of yourself. This is our one body and our one life. Like, why not anyway?
That's so interesting. And I see so many men saying, oh, well, I need this and I need a 10. And then I take a look at them and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, yeah. It's like, what about you?
Have you looked at yourself lately? That's not like, it's delusional. And I'm a decent looking woman. And I say that not out of conceits, but I've paid the bills with what I look like. So proof is in the pudding. I know I look a certain way that I can make money. That being said, my point is, when I see a hot guy, I automatically do not think, oh, it's in the bag for me, or he's, because he might not like my personality. I might have a sense of humor that turns him off. Maybe he doesn't like my style, or maybe my political beliefs or my religious stance. Maybe he isn't going to like that. Like, I never think for a moment I got it in the bag. Yet I meet so many men, and I see this all the time. I know you know this. It's the grocery store stare where all of a sudden some guy sees you and all of a sudden they get, or at a show, or they get this look on their face like, oh yeah. And then it's like, and they look at you like, why aren't you looking at me? Like, clearly I'm single and you should be asking me out, or you should be talking to me. And you're like, huh? Like, I'm just, and it's not, I'm not being arrogant. I'm saying like, they literally think like they're the only man that's discovered you, or like the dentist office, or it's like these guys, and they just think, here's a pretty woman and automatically she better and should like me. And it doesn't work like that, guys. It just doesn't.
And that goes both ways too. But definitely like, I don't know if it's that kind of hunt and conquer kind of ego control thing with dudes, but it's like, I mean, you know, I had gone on I haven't dated in a long time, honestly. I would say a couple years ago, I went on a couple like one-timer dates. And one of them, the guy was like, he looked good. Like, he was good looking, tan, buff, muscles, tattoos, all the things. But he was such an asshole. And I was just like, oh. And like the way he was talking to me, he just thought that he could talk to me that way. And I do not have that type of personality. Like, I look at you and be like, who the fuck are you talking to? then of course at the end of the night he tries to jam his tongue down my throat and I couldn't get away fast enough, literally blocked his number before I even got to like pull away in my car. You know what I mean? Like, there's being alpha, which I'm all about. I'm all about alpha men, like all about alpha men. But there's a line between alpha and confident and just plain asshole and off-putting.
Let's talk about that. That's so important because I love a confident man. I love a man who knows what he wants and he's all about it. But when you gotta like know, is he gonna take his leftovers that you're walking down the street with and see somebody on the street who needs a meal and just kindly say, hey brother, I've got some extra food, please, would you take it from me, or would you help us out? Or you can just tell how somebody is. The alpha and the confidence should be that of which to make the world a better place, mm-hmm. and not putting themselves over all the time. Like the guy, there's been so many guys that are so, and I want guys listening to know this, like, we like good looking guys or guys that take care of themselves, but there has to be confidence there. And that's not why we don't just like good looking guys. Like you want somebody that you're attracted to, but like over the years, what and who I've been attracted to has changed. What I thought that I was looking for in a guy, I've met a few guys that why am I eating hot chili peppers before a stream? I will never do that again. My God. What I thought I was looking for is not what I want now. And I just want somebody with their shit together who, there's so many dudes that it just seems like they're looking for approval from way too many women. It's like you see it online. They're fishing for compliments.
Well, that to me just is an insecure ego thing. It's like you don't have to have the attention of 12 women at one time. Like, that doesn't make you cool. It doesn't make you any better. What makes you cool, to me, what I think is awesome about a dude is when a guy's fucking faithful.
Oh,
we do not see that often. And once again, I am not saying that this is just a man thing. I just want to preface that and say, like, women do all this shit too, okay? But since we are talking, we are women and we are talking about men. I turned 40 in September, and I have my son's like birthday balloons are like the helium's going down and they're like creeping towards me. I've definitely gone through some lessons. I would have liked to have got some of my time in my life back, but you know, here I am. This is just what I needed to go through for some reason. And do I still want a good looking guy? Like, of course, obviously everybody wants a good looking person. No one's like, I want the ugliest person I can possibly find who's just repulsive in every way. Like, nobody wants that. But this is going to drive me crazy.
Go put him in the other room if you need to. I don't care.
The kitchen's full of them. But my son turned 5 a couple weeks ago. So,
He's so cute.
And I thank you. And I just keep all the, I'm a decoration keeper upper until like the last minute. So,
nobody wants the ugliest, grossest person in the room.
Right. But and I think that just this day and age, the weird things in society, the weird things in politics, feminism and all that kind of stuff. Like I am a very strong woman. Ever since I was 18 years old, I've been in a male dominated business. Like I can do shit that men can do. That's fine. But then, you know what I mean? Like, and that's cool. And that's a great thing. But I think feminism kind of takes it too far where it's like, I don't need no man. And it's like, but you, yin and yang, you can't just be a one big yin or one big, it doesn't work that way. Like you have to have, like, you can't have the woman. I think Velvet and I talked about this before too. You can't have the woman being so much in her masculine energy because the man is not. And then the man is falling into more of the beta feminine energy that just goes against like nature. You know what I mean? That's not like women, men are supposed to be the hunters, the protectors, the providers, the this and the that. Once again, not that we can't do that. I'm not saying that. But women are the more nurturing, motherly, in touch, the emotion, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So what I think is the most attractive is to be a strong alpha woman, but to also be so in tune with your feminine energy. And for an alpha man, it's like, you know what you want, you go after it. You're driven, you're strong. Everybody has their insecurities. We know that, but you're not like, your life and your ego are not controlled by your insecurities. Like you're confident, you know, and you are like, like I said, the most attractive thing is like, this is my woman. It's not like, oh, I got 12 bitches over here. I could just get my black book out. I just hit up anybody. No, what's awesome is to watch a dude who is like, I could have these 12 bitches, yeah, but I got this one right here that I fucking love. And that is just like, oh, just clothing off.
No, just I was just going to say, you know, you want somebody's panties to drop. You feel like you have loyalty and that somebody's got your back and like you can have, I don't even have to feel like having sex. I will have sex with you if you make me feel like I am who you love and who you want to be with.
Yeah. Like, any guy who's like, ooh, bitches over here. It's like, nope, loser, not attractive. Nobody cares. Oh, cool. So you can just get your dick sucked anytime. Great. Good for you. How am I special then?
That when I see them casting the net and just throwing it out there and just working, literally, if I found them attractive within 1 second, I'm done. Like I am not.
And we all go through that shit in our late teens and our 20s and stuff like that. But once you hit, you know, your your 30s and 40s and whatever, like you just, you hit a point where you're like, I'm looking for rest of the life stuff. Like, you know, I had my time where I fucked around and you should have had your time where you fucked around too. You're not looking for the good time stuff. I mean, you're just not looking for the good time stuff anymore. You're like, what's the stability? What's the future? You know, I have a child. I'm not just looking for me anymore either. You know, I'm looking for two people. So
I think back to what you said about, I have been in some horrific, abusive, physically abusive, toxic relationships. And I can look back and see who that person is. And I just think zero self-esteem I had at the time. Zero self-respect I had at the time. And I wish I run back in times at pivotal moments of my life when I was with gorgeous men who I thought they're so gorgeous and I'm so attracted to them and they just treated me like complete garbage and shit and trash. And I remember moments where I just wished I would have left or I would have walked away. But it really does boil down to where I was at the time and what I was thinking. And I live by a biker bar and I'm losing my mind because they're really loud. There's so many women that I'll reach out and say, you know, this is what I'm just like, I wish I could just take you with me back in time. And, you know, the guy's married. He is married. You don't want to start a relationship with somebody that's married and they leave their spouse for you because they're not even going to leave their spouse for you like that.
Right. And if they do, who's to say they won't leave you as their spouse for somebody else? Like, it's tough.
No, it's
and I've dated good looking guys too, where it's like good looking, but no substance. That's not going to get you far. You know what I mean? That's and then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years later, it's like, you're still in the same spot, not getting what you want. And I mean, me too. I look back and I'm like, God, how many red flags did I see with so many dudes? But I'm always a look past, give them a chance. You know, maybe they'll change, maybe this, maybe that. And then like, you really just on your own, because nobody can tell you, like, you have to leave this person. And you're like, yep, I'll do it. Like, that never happens. You have to like get to those things on your own. But it's like, then all of a sudden you're 40 and divorced or single or whatever. And you're like, fuck, I get some of that time back, but you can't.
I remember I was dating a wrestler. I never talk about who it was because it's just not even worth it. I don't even like to say his name.
Yeah.
But he would come into town and not call me. And we were like dating because he had so many other bitches to attend to. And I remember it was after I got fired from TNA.
That to me is so unattractive. Dude, so unattractive.
Yeah. Who's more unattractive? Me, for putting up with it. But I remember when I got fired from TNA and then I lost my record deal and then I lost my publishing deal and I was going bankrupt and I couldn't make any money. Like, you can't make more than $600 at a time because they'll take it from you. You have to work for cash. You can't have a bank account. You can't have any assets. You can't have a credit card. I was cleaning. And I remember cleaning a house in Green Hills, Tennessee, which is ironically like 3 blocks from Dixie Carter's house. And I was cleaning the top of an armoire. And I remember him calling or something. And I knew he was in town. And I didn't let him know till the end of the conversation. And I just said, you know, where are you? And I said, I know that you were in town. He's like, oh, I'm on my way back to such and such. And I was just like, and you didn't so much as even ask me for a cup of coffee or to say hi or anything. And I just remember, like, I said something to him and I said, I'm hanging up the phone right now. Oh, I hung up on him. He called back. I answered. And he just said, you hung up on me. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it again. And that was the last time I ever talked to him. Like, there has to be something within you, if you're listening, where you're in an abusive relationship, something within you has to just click. Nobody can tell it to you.
And it does. And you can't even explain it. You don't even really feel it coming on. Just one day you're just like,
I'm done.
I'm over this. Over
and
it.
And if you're smart and you learn from it, you can smell that shit from... Or you're gonna fall into it again, like a lot of people that I know. I see him marrying the same guy over and over, and I'm not. No red
well, it's thing. The definite. You have to think about the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah,
that's insane. You can't, when you keep following the same pattern, getting stuck in the same pattern. You have to choose to go for different.
I look at like some of the people that I've been with as of late and they are different. And I always hear like, oh, you should be really good friends. And I'm like, oh, I want to be really hot for this person. Or I heard, it'll happen when you least expect it. I'm like, oh yeah, right. And you know what? Maybe it won't for you, but maybe it will. I tell people just leave all of your options open. There are how many billion people on the planet or whatever. Like, it's something I read the other day was, if it's not working out, whether it be a friend or a job or a lover or a partner, why do you have to just keep pushing so hard for that one thing? Like, there are
how many people are there in the world?
Yeah, there are other people that you can fall in love with. And nobody wants to hear that, because when you're in love, you're just like, it all boils down to like how you're feeling about yourself. Mm-hmm. I just got lost on your Wikipedia. I'm thinking, bitch, they're writing a lot about you. There's so much. Like, I remember.
And that I haven't looked at it for a long time, but there were some things on there where I'm like, is the name on there Lauren Ann Williams?
No, it's just Lauren Williams.
Oh, okay. Because Ann was up on there for like a decade. And I'm like, that's not even my middle name. And you're supposed to be able to write on Wikipedia and have like references for things.
Oh,
and I'm
dude.
Like, there's so I had seen some things on there that were untrue and I tried to change them. And then like, once it does it, then it changes back to what was already there. And I'm like, but that's not even true. And it's me and I'm writing about whatever. Like, I haven't looked in a long time.
It's wrestling people that started Wikipedia.
Really?
Like, I remember it was all wrestling based. And then Wikipedia had me at 67 years old for many years. And I would go to try to get it changed and it would go to 67, maybe 62. And I was losing band bookings and then Google backed it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I wrote Google a letter that said, here's my camera. I'm setting it up. I'm going to take my gun and blow my brains out and I'm going to video it. And the reason is I'm going to hold you responsible for a class, whatever lawsuit. And I'm telling my lawyer and I'm going to kill myself. Air live and let everybody know it's because of Google, because Google did it. And you know what? Within 10 minutes, they changed it.
10 minutes. There you go.
I've pulled that one other time and I never had one other time. I got that crazy when I was in college. They had me in some recitation, like a welcome college thing. And the whole thing was about what will you do if you encounter somebody of a different race on campus? What will you do? And I was like,
why is that even an issue?
Hello? And they're like, but what will you really do if you see a black woman or if you see an Asian man in the class? What will you, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I said, this is,
that
for
is
like,
so weird.
No, I was like, I want out of this. It was out in the woods in Minnesota. I'm like, I want to go. And they're like, oh no, you can't go. And I'm like, no, I'm 18. I'm a legal adult. And I would like to leave. Like, can you, there's no phones to call a cab. And I said, well, then I'm going to call somebody. Like, no, you can't leave. And I'm like, no, I can leave. And they wouldn't let me leave. So I was like, well, if you and that was the only other time I would ever threaten something like that. But 67 years old can really cancel a lot of bookings. And
sure.
Speaking of that, I met you. So I thought it was 2002, but I guess it was more 2003 or four. When were you backstage at the fairgrounds?
Yeah. So I think the first time I went backstage was 03.
Okay, then my
clock was 03.
Great. I remember.
Yeah. And we were, because there was a bunch of us that were driving from Toronto. We'd drive 12 hours to Nashville, whole bunch of us. And we would just go there to be there for the fairgrounds tapings. And then we would just like stay the night and drive back the next day. Like we'd do 24 hours in like a day. Like
no,
a day just to
you're
be there.
Kidding me. So who was in this camp?
Yeah, we did that all the time. Oh, it was me and Sin. Who got in the group with Wolfie. Eric Young, Tracy, I don't know if Tracy had already been down there at that time, but there was a bunch of us Ontario people that would just get in a car.
Bobby Roode?
Yeah, like, no, I think he was doing like WWE tryout stuff. I don't know if he ever drove down.
Johnny Devine?
Yeah, Johnny Devine too.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was an Ontario guy. He was from like Alberta, but he was coming down too. But yeah, there was a bunch of us that would drive down. So we would go down on like Tuesday probably, and then it was like Wednesday was the pay-per-view, and then we would just stay in the hotel that night, and then we'd all just drive back Thursday. We did that numerous times just to be seen, because you know, if it was just WWE and TNA at the time, so if that was on our, you know, WWE was obviously like our big thing, but it was like we knew so many people in TNA too, and it was like everybody was indie people, nobody was established yet at that time, you know, so it was more of like an open arm chance for us, especially Canadian kids, you know? So
isn't that amazing? Like you think of how hard that you hustle, and I did somebody's pod today and they're like, so TNA discovered you. I'm like, TNA didn't discover me. That's wrong on Wikipedia. I got in a plane and flew from California to Hendersonville, Tennessee many times to get them to notice me. I kept trying and trying because I was in another abusive relationship and I wanted out, and I saw TNA and a paycheck and an opportunity as an out to get out of that, you know, and then I would go bankrupt after that, but at least I wasn't being abused. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, So nobody found me. Like, nobody found you. You had to, like, show the fuck up. Like, people don't realize how much of what you want and your dream requires showing up. And
yeah, and a lot of the most misinformation that was spread about me was back in 2009 when I had my visa issue with TNA. Everybody thought that that was my fault. And I'm like, nope. But when you're in America, you don't understand how getting an American work visa works, right? So people were just saying a bunch of stuff online when I got released due to the visa issue, saying that I didn't have my paperwork. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I've been doing everything since I got hired. They fucked up.
Well, but I didn't. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, but I didn't have a chance to say that until well afterwards.
Why do you have so much? I just caught some of your, just the promo. Like, what happened that you have so much heat with? Dixie came in.
Oh, I don't have so much heat. We just Velvet and I just don't like her. Like, a lot of people who worked in TNA, like, watched how much she fucked up everything that we had that was good. But she did something really, really stupid and I quit in 2012. So, I mean, we can talk about that if you want.
No, I'm interested. I only met her for like, I look back at my time and
you were like the Dusty Rhodes, Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Jarrett.
Oh yeah.
Time of TNA.
I was the one who had, it's been long enough that I can say, like, Panda, which Dixie was attached to, obviously. Like, their financial liaison was the one who was sexually harassing me, like, horrible stuff, horrible. And I went to Jeff and Jerry and Bob Ryder and said, here are tapes of this guy. You gave him my phone number. I never did. He's calling me drunk. He's saying he wants to up my pussy. It was just like
disgusting.
I could have sued for millions of dollars with what I had. And I made a backup, but I gave him the tape, one of those little tape things. Wasn't digital back then. And, you know, Jeff, and it's been long enough, they got a hooker for the guy. Like, that's what, that was their fix. They're like, they always had a pretty girl
right
backstage to, like, to take the heat off of me. And it worked. Like, the next day she was sucking his dick, I'm sure, the next pay-per-view everything was fine. But, like, I really could have sued the pants out of the company, but I had all these friends and I was like, I knew there was only WWE and TNA and they had a shot. And I look at the CM Punks and the AJ Styles and all these guys that, you know, I'm sure that they eventually would have made it in WWE, or would they have? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but I know I didn't want my friends to lose their job and I didn't want to lose my job.
That's so funny that you said crystal ball, because that was said to me like right before I quit TNA.
Who said what?
Bruce Pritchard, actually. So obviously Velvet and I were doing our great things as a beautiful people, but then there came times for us to be broken up and whatever. And then Winter came into the company, and the whole entire time Winter, her actual legitimate entire run in TNA was with me from like the minute she started until she got released. It was just all with me. And I just remember thinking it was such a random pairing. It's nothing against her, 'cause she's a sweetheart. But, when you know, Vince kind of got phased out, other people kind of came in that were nice to you before they got in positions of power. And then once they got in positions of power, it was like, who are you? I don't even see you. Ah, I'm just going to keep walking. You know what I mean? Like, you know how it goes. So Winter and I were in this thing for so long, and then new people came in and they just didn't like it, or like it wasn't their idea. They didn't know what it was. So they just didn't do anything with it. So we were off TV for like months and months and, you know, pay per appearance. So I remember talking to, you know, Kurt Angle and his wife. I love them. They're such huge supporters of me and so helpful. And Hulk Hogan too, actually, was like, I spoke to him for like 45 minutes on the phone one night, and he was like, you live in Tampa, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, are you booked on the tapings this week? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, well, he's like, why don't you drive in? He's like, talk to Dixie. She's the horse's head. If you want your answers. And he's like, I have a pre-show meeting. I'll make sure to let her know that you're coming to talk to her and we'll make this happen. And I remember thinking that was really cool. But Bruce Pritchard was the booker at the time. And I had talked to him about, like, the fuck, you know, like, why aren't I being used? And he actually said to me, like, well, if I had a crystal ball I could look into and tell you that we have stuff coming up for you, I would look, but we just don't have anything. And I just remember being like, if you had a crystal ball to look into, you have a pen and paper, dude. That's how you make stuff happen. And Bischoff too. But so I guess I'll just tell you the story of when I quit in 2012. I think Dixie knew that, well, she knew because Hogan told her, because I saw Hogan. He's like, yep, I let her know. And it's like, I don't know if she said something to Bruce Pritchard, but like Bruce Pritchard was like stuck to her like a fat kid on a hamburger. I couldn't get near her that day because they knew I wasn't booked and they were like, why is she here? Were you ever at how we had the setup at Universal Studios? Did you ever see that? Did you ever come to Universal?
Yeah, I worked there for a while.
Okay, so I think you went to Universal when it first started. I wasn't there when it first started, so I didn't know if it was the same or not. So you know where the makeup room was and where the bathrooms were in that one building?
Yep.
How the makeup room's like this, and if you come out and go this way, the bathrooms are right there, and then you can go outside. So it was like, you know, when Vince was writing TNA, I say this all the time, he made room for everybody. He could easily fit 10 knockouts on a show, like easily. Well, when these new people came in, it was like two. To a show, and that's it, with a roster of 14 girls. You know what I mean? So it was literally like I was backstage, and even the dudes were being booked. It was a lot of ex-WWE people who were being booked. Just freaking tumbleweeds were blowing by, and I was just like, what is this turning into? And so I was walking out of the makeup room, and as I was coming around the corner, Dixie was walking out of the bathroom, and we almost, and she was just like, and I was like, so let's talk. And it was just like, she just could like just backpedaling. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, I wish that we could show you how we have to write things and present it to Spike TV. You know, we have to write 6-month increments and we can't change things. And I was like, bullshit, you can't change things. What if someone gets hurt? You got to change things. What if you fire somebody? You got to change things. What if you hire somebody new? You have to change things. Like, I'm not stupid, you know? And she was just like, oh, well, have you talked to so-and-so? And I was like, yep. Oh, well, have you talked to so-and-so? And I was like, yep. Yep. And basically, you're the head honcho, right? So I'm here to talk to you. Like, what's that? And she goes, she was like, well, you know, you've been doing like this blonde, like Barbie kind of princessy character for so long. And she's also, by the way, standing there telling me how badly they need an ass kicking heel girl. And I was like, what have I been for you for the last 5 years? I've been your ass kicking heel girl, and I'm telling you, and I'm happy, and I'm going to leave. And you're telling me you need an ass-kicking heel girl. Okay, makes perfect sense. And then she was like, well, you've been doing this kind of character for so long. And she's like, and you know, you haven't. How long has it been since you've been on TV? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, 2-3 months, Dixie. And she was like, well, she's like, why don't you do something like drastically different? Like, why don't you shave your head? And immediately I was like, what the fuck? I just was like I went sideways when she said that. And she was like, yeah, what could just because like you've had this look for so long. Why don't you just like shave your head and wear like a big baggy plaid shirt and like big baggy blue jeans? And you could be like this crazy lumberjack heel girl. Cause you know, we really need ass kicking heel girls. And I was just like, so shave my head to present this idea to Pritchard and Bischoff, who I'm pretty sure hate me, to just do that. And then a runner came up like behind me, and Dixie was like, yes, do I need to go do something? Can I help you? Do I need to do that? Like, she just couldn't get out of fast enough. And the guy was actually nice. He was like, oh no, like no rush, like 10, 15 minutes, whatever. We need you for a pre-tape. Because, you know, Dixie had 14 segments on the show at that time. And he was like, oh, you know, we just need you for a pre-tip. And she's like, oh, no, yeah, it's totally fine. No, I have to go to the bathroom. But mind you, she just walked out of the bathroom. She's like, I have to go to the bathroom and I have to go into makeup again. But, you know, just go ahead and think about that. And then just, you know, let me know how it goes. And then she's off, she went. And I just kind of stood there in the hallway and I was like, I'm done here. And I walked back in through the makeup room and I said my goodbyes to everybody. And I went into the trailer, which was like empty because nobody was booked, and got all my shit out of the closet and packed my shit up. And there was only like Christy Hemme was there because she was the ring announcer. So Cal Val was there because she was the ring girl. Taylor Hendricks was there because she was doing the gut check thing. And Gail was there because she wrestled Gail. That was it. And so I just gathered up my stuff and I was like, and I told all the makeup ladies, I told everybody in the makeup room, I was like, yep, I'm done. I'm quit. I'm done. And by the time I got in my car and I went out, cause I had a condo in St. Pete at the time. And I got to Turkey Lake Road, right outside of Universal Studios, Turkey Lake Road. And Al Snow calls me because he was doing talent relations at the time. And he's like, hey, yeah, I just want to let you know. I just talked to Dixie and Bruce. And he's like, I think we're gonna give you your release. And I'm like, well, I just quit. So you don't really need to worry about that. And he was like, oh, well, that makes my job easier. Oh, I'll send you the email with the thing. And I was like, cool, sounds good. That was it. And then a month later, Velvet quit. And then from like August into December 2012, we just went on a Beautiful People tour and we were fucking booked everywhere, making tons of dough. And then
really?
She went, oh yeah. And then we just took all of our own bookings. Like we were free and we were just booked left, right, and center. Just crazy, crazy, crazy coming in. I went and filmed a TV show up in Canada. I made like $20,000 just right there doing this TV show. Like just checks just kept coming in from it. And I'm like, this is fucking great. And then she went back in 2013. And then I went back in the beginning of 2014 when there was new management again. But yeah, so that's my, every time I tell people that story, when I tell them that Dixie told me to shave my head, because I'm kind of like known for this, like this is a very known thing for me is kind of like the hair. People are like, she fucking told you what? And I'm like, yeah, if you could have seen my face when she said it to me, but this bitch was serious as a heart attack. While telling me that she needs an ass-kicking heel girl. And I'm like, yeah, I've been that for the last 5 years.
No words. I had very slim dealings with her. She was nice to me when she saw me. And then I got fired. And so you left where I knew that I, David Sahadi, who you didn't deal with, did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So David Sahadi, they were at the very end of the green screen promos for the day. There's three people left. Felt like the fat kid wasn't getting picked for dodgeball. I should edit that out. Is that too offensive? No. It always was the fat kid that didn't get picked for dodgeball. I'm making fun of fat people. Now I'm all...
The unathletic kid.
Yeah. God, I got to watch everything I fucking say. What's my time spent? 10. I'll take it out. 43. Okay. So... I felt like that unathletic kid at the end of picking for a game. And I saw somebody say, well, what about Goldie? She hasn't done it. I just remember like thinking, yeah, I'm ready to do my turn to camera and cross my arms and TNA Impact. And I just remember seeing David Zahadi like doing this, like she's done. And I was like, and I just remember like, I'm done. And then we didn't do it. Who did I ask? I think I asked James Storm. And he's like, yeah, Goldie, the word on the street is that you're going to sue the company if you take a bad bump on the next abyss. I'm like, what are you talking about? If I was going to sue the company, I would have sued it years ago. We all know, like, I've got some proof that, you know, I'm not going to sue it. And then I panicked and I went to Jeff and I was like, Jeff, I heard that. And he's like, well, you know, Goldrin, he's like, you know, you're a liability now and we've just got too big of an empire and you're a risk. And I'm like, but I never, and that was Abyss was jealous that I was getting too much camera time because Vince and I were good friends and he gave me a ton of camera time with stuff that I even wonder sometimes. I'm like, Vince, that was too
much. And see, that's the thing too. We're talking about like women and their jealousy. How could a grown man be jealous of a woman getting some camera? I don't.
Yeah. No, he lied and said I was going to sue the company. I would never have said that. Like it's in Jerry Jarrett's autobiography that I passed on suing to save the company and my job and my friend's jobs. And it's like, if I was going to do it, I would have done it then not over some hearsay or whatever, but I just remember that day, like just, I didn't do anything that I went back to the hotel in Orlando and just thought like my future is over. But you're saying like you called your own future, like you just left, you were done. And you said you had
a- Yeah, and that was really risky too, because I was under a visa, you know, I'm not American. So, but I just, you know, at that time I had been in the wrestling business for 12 years and I was just, I know my worth and I know what I can do work-wise. And I went back in 2014, but then I got pregnant in 2015 and then I gave birth to my son in 2016. And then I went back in 2017 for like 7 months. And then it was getting to the point again, where it was like booked on everything, you know, like you always are when you first come back. And then it's like, oh, we're not going to have you on the next tapings and you know, you're pay per appearance. So, you know, I'm a mother. I need to. So I even just said to Bob Ryder, cause I left the company for the final time in August 2017 because I hadn't been booked on the previous tapings. I wasn't booked on the current tapings, and they had no plans for me on the like upcoming tapings either. And I was like, is this going to be a thing? Because like, if I've been here off and on for like 10 years, if you guys can't figure out that I'm fucking star power for you and I'm good, let's just end it here. And he was just like, yeah, we just don't have anything. And I'm like, okay, well then I'll just be asking for my release then. And he was like, okay. Like, it was always just like, sometimes with them too, it was just like, you already know that they already know you're done. You know, because if you say something like, oh, I just want my release, like right then Bob Ryder was like, oh, okay, well, you know, then I'll just talk to so-and-so and look at the emails. It wasn't even like, you know, it wasn't even a thing. But I was like, no, but I was like, no, like after this much time, oh my God, I have more than proven myself. If you guys are going to start doing the, oh, we just not these tapings, oh, probably the next tip, over it.
I thought that you had to get paid regardless. Like, that's really interesting.
No, so much. No. So, I mean, like there was an incredibly tiny select few in TNA who were salary. Everybody else was paid per appearance. You don't get booked, you don't get paid.
Wow. I was salary. So I guess I should shut up and be grateful that I had that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so grateful for Ring of Honor, you know, during this whole time, like even WWE let people go. Ring of Honor is the only company who didn't let people go during this whole COVID thing. We got paid salary first of the month, every month, no questions asked, no issues, everybody taken care of. And I'm just like, that's everything.
That's crazy. How is Ring of Honor different than AEW?
I never worked for AEW.
I know. I just was wondering, like, in your
opinion. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Wondering if it's like, because I heard good things about AEW taking care of people too, but that's.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's really important. You know, it's nobody's fault. It's none of our faults that this has happened, you know, and we all have, you know, a lot of us have families and we all have bills, you know.
How did you do the wrestling when you walked out of TNA and you said you did this whole Beautiful People tour? Like, you no longer had a visa, or you just did a, is it, could you just come in and work for a little bit? And
oh, no, I still had one. So the visa issue that I had back in 2009. So like this is like when I was champ, like 2009 was like peak Beautiful People. 2008, 2009 was like peak Beautiful People. So when I worked for WWE, I got hired by WWE in January 2005. And by the time I actually started with them, because I had the choice of like going to OVW in Louisville and starting right away, or waiting until like they opened up this facility in Georgia, the new thing. And I was like, well, I had done my tryout at OVW and it was full. And I'm like, I don't want to just be like thrown into the pack and just like immediately invisible. You know what I mean? I'm like, I want to be part of the new thing where everybody's new and all eyes are on this new thing and these new people. So I waited and I got my visa, and it was a 5-year visa. So I got it in 2005. So it was good until 2010, sometime in 2010. And, you know, I got released from WWE in May 2007. And then, you know, I knew Damore. I knew Terry Taylor from doing Damore's BCW shows, and I was 19 years old. So when I got released from WWE, that was around the time that they were wanting to like really start like the knockouts division. So they contacted me. And basically Terry Taylor was like, I told him, he's like, well, do we need to get you? And I said, well, I have this WWE visa. I got it with them. So I don't know what you guys need to do. And he was just like, when is it good till? And I'm like, whatever month in 2010. And I told him, I'm like, it's good until whatever 2010. And he was like, okay, that's good. That's fine. Whatever, whatever. And then blah, blah, blah. And then like, I got my contract and I'm working. And the first 2 years I was in TNA, I worked under my WWE visa. And then, so they offered all of us girls 3-year contracts, but coming from what I was making in WWE, and once I saw the TNA contract, I was like, what is this garbage? Like, I was like, this is shits money-wise. And I'm like, and it's not even sad, like WWE, you get paid Monday. You get a check Monday every week, no issues. You don't get it, they'll fucking cancel the check and they'll overnight you went, like never an issue. In TNA, it was like, so it's this amount of money and I only get it if I'm booked. What if I'm not booked? Like, it was just crazy to me, right? So come like fall 2009, like I'm the champ, Beautiful People, we're on fucking everything. We're on top of the world. And I had been talking to Terry Taylor. They wanted to like the second year of my 2 year was coming up. So they wanted to talk to me about getting a new contract figured out for the coming years and whatever. And then I think once the lawyers kind of sat down and looked at it and they were like, wait a minute, we never got her a visa in the first place. I literally was asleep in my apartment in Tampa and I woke up and Awesome Kong was blowing my phone up and I had like fucking 17 text messages and I was like, what is going on? Everybody was freaking out and I'm like, what? I found out on the internet I had got released by TNA. It was all over the dirt sheets and I was like, how come I don't know about this? Like, what the fuck? And I called Kong and she was like freaking out and I started freaking out. And then I talked to Vince and Vince was there for all of it. Vince and talked to freaking Dixie and just, and basically when they had kind of figured out, oh, we never got her a visa in the first place. They were scared to death that like Homeland Security or like immigration was going to come after them because they've had this illegal alien, even though I wasn't like an illegal alien because I still had a visa, but I was working for a different company under a different company's visa or whatever. They just cut ties with me immediately. Like, I mean, no fucking questions asked. They didn't even tell me. It went online before I even found out, just because they didn't want to get in trouble and have the liability from their own dumbass mistake that they made in the first place. But Americans don't understand how getting an American visa works. So this snowballed into me getting released right away, which was a big deal because I was like the champ. You know what I mean? And Beautiful People was doing everything. So just to, like, out of nowhere, fire Angelina Love. It was just, like, a spread like wildfire, right?
It didn't, like, even stop to, like, ask questions of how to fix it, or?
No, at first, they were all about distancing. We don't even know you. So that devastated me, because once that got on, like, the dirt sheets and stuff, I had a ton of independent outside bookings. Everybody dropped me. They were like, oh, we can't have this illegal alien. So I was like, hold on a minute. I have this like small amount of savings. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to work and make any money? I'm in the States. I can't go back to Canada. What if I get fucking flagged at the border? I can't get back into the States and I'm totally fucked. I got to go back to Canada. Like, it was the most emotionally devastating, like up and down roller coaster for like 5 months it took. And then I got an agent. Thankfully, this guy, Michael Kleisab, really helped me out. I got him through Matt Morgan and he was on the phone with fucking Terry Taylor every day. Like, you guys better figure this shit out because this is not her fault. So when it comes to getting an American visa, people seemed to think that this was a me slacking issue. Angelina must not have stayed up on her paperwork. Angelina must not have paid attention to this. Angelina must not have paid attention to that. No, it's the company. So I can't just, as a Canadian, go to WWE and be like, you got to hire me. What WWE has to, let's say WWE, for instance, what WWE would have to do is they have to show the government why they need to hire this person from another country over an American citizen. And why pay American money to this person who is not American. So when you're a Canadian and you are getting hired by WWE, you have to send them tons of shit. Like, I had to, any indie show poster I had saved, I mailed to them to show like, look, I'm important. I'm on these shows. This, like, you have to show like, this person's busy. They're popular. They do this. They do that. This is what they bring to the table. And like, the company has to make a big like presentation package to give to the government when applying for your visa, to show the government, this is why we as a company need to hire this person who is not American over an American person. So I can't go to the government and be like, yo, Obama, I want to work for WWE. Give me a visa. It's like, that's not how it works. The company has to sponsor you. And that's how you get your visa. But Americans don't need to get American visas, so they don't get that. So everybody just assumed I fucked it up. I got lazy on something. I slacked on something. And it was my fault this happened. Wow. And immediately Velvet and Madison were on TV. And this actually really hurt my feelings. I remember watching, because I was already devastated. I was like, oh my God, I'm fucking like 20. How old was I? 20. This happened in 2009. So I was 20. I just turned 28. Maybe. And I'm like, I'm so young. I have so much more to like, how is this happening? What is going on? I can't go home. My sister just had my niece. I couldn't go home to meet my niece. I couldn't see my parents. I couldn't work. I didn't even want to leave my apartment because I was so scared. The fucking immigration officers were going to knock on my door. It was all over the internet every day. People were like, people were starting to distance themselves from me. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. And they had Velvet and Madison do some promo on Impact, basically saying like, we couldn't have Angelina in the group anymore. Her attitude is like too out of control and blah, 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 blah. Just basically kind of writing me off out of my own fucking group. And then Lacey Von Erich came in, and this is nothing like Lacey just didn't know. Lacey and I are uber cool. We were not cool at first, obviously, but she just didn't know. Lacey doesn't have a bad bone in her body. And her and I are close. There's no bad blood there whatsoever. She was just doing what she was told, but she ended up doing an interview where when they hired her to be the other blonde and the beautiful people, she came in and she just like did an interview on some site where it was basically like, yeah, this role was made for me. Like this spot was like made for me. Like this is my thing and I'm this and I'm that. And like, I don't know much about her, but this is like my thing now. And my agent, Michael, saw that and he was like, that's fucking bullshit. And he was on the phone with Terry Taylor so fast and they got that completely removed. They basically called whoever she did the interview with and they were like, you got to take it down, blah, blah, blah. Obviously she was told to say that. We know that. And then I remember I was at my friend's house and this like, 310 California number, Los Angeles, came up on my phone and any number I see, I don't know. And I'm like, just like, nope. And then like 5 minutes later, like a voicemail bing bings. And it's like, I get a 3 minute long voicemail from Lacey Von Erich, just like introducing herself and like just apologizing and being like, I was just doing what I was told to do. I didn't know. I don't know you. I don't have anything against you. I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. So that's why when I went back and I first met her, I didn't really have bad blood with her. You know, like everybody expected it to be that way, but she's so nice and I'm not fucking dumb. I'm just like, I know it was what it was. I know what it was. I don't hold that against you. But yeah, so like they actually did not take the proper steps to hire me properly in the first place. So then basically my agent was like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then months later, it came to, okay, this is going to get resolved. They're going to have a new contract ready for you in a month. We just go to, and I remember I just broke down. I fell into pieces and just started bawling because it was like 5 months of every single day worrying about leaving my house, where my money was going to come from. I couldn't go back to Canada. I couldn't work a real job down here because I wasn't a citizen, didn't have a visa, blah. It was a mess every day. It was good news, bad news, good news, bad news. Good. I worked out a lot.
How'd you make money?
I sold some stuff on eBay and I had a nest egg. You know what I mean? I had a nest egg. I'm not a big spender. I like to save money. I like to get a paycheck and divvy it up between keeping some in the bank, paying a credit card bill and saving. You know what I mean? So I always did that. So I had some to live off of. And I remember I sold a beautiful people cut up t-shirt on eBay for $800 to somebody. And right there, I was like, there's my rent for a month. Perfect. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just what I did. And that went on from like August until I think I got the good news sometime in mid to late November. And then it was like kind of just get December figured out. Cause you know, they would do like the 3 to 4 weeks of tapings in 2 to 3 days just because of the holidays threw everything off and whatever. I had to go back up to Canada so that once I could come back down, I could go through the Pearson Airport and get the visa stamped right there with the border agent before I got through customs and immigrations. And then back into the state. So it was crazy. It was crazy. But I make it a point when I can to like try to explain to American people, like you're not just a Canadian wrestler coming into the States being like, yo, hire me. It's like you have to be sponsored. Like if you wanted to go work in London, England, or if you wanted to go to Germany and work or whatever company you're going to go to work for in those countries, they have to sponsor you. They have to get the visa for you. They have to go to their own government and say, this is why we are hiring this person that is not from England or is not German or whatever. So
I had no idea that all worked out and just worked that way. And it just sounds like you've been through the ringer. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're working with Vince now and that you're part of everything. You have your Patreon, the Beautiful People Patreon, but then do you also have another show on Vince's network or is it just that?
We have our podcast. So we do the Beautiful Podcast, the TBP on the TBP, the Beautiful People on the Beautiful Podcast. And we record those Mondays. They come up new every Sunday.
And then we're on Vince's thing, like My Goldie's Closet, where people that are subscribed to Vince can see that.
Yeah, like the Realm Network or whatever. Yeah. So whenever we tell people if they want to hear the podcast, and they have to subscribe to the Realm Network and then they can hear the podcast.
Got it.
And then we also do like a 20 minute extra, which is like a a part of our Patreon. We only have two tiers. We have two very basic tiers. The $25 tier and then like a $100 tier where obviously you get the most stuff in the hunt. That's our VIPs. But there is like an extra 20 minutes where if you just like subscribe, you don't hear it, I think.
Okay.
The extra little bit is on our Patreon.
Okay. That's really cool. I'm just glad that you're doing it. He's just spoken such wonderful words about you and
Valor. We have nothing but good things to say about Vince. Everybody feels the way they feel about him. A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people really like him. We forever and ever and always will only speak good of him because he believed in us. He just let us be us. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people are like, oh, you know, beautiful people in WWE. Like, we would never have been able to have been what we were if we were in WWE. We would have been too controlled and manufactured. Like, that would have never worked. Vince always just let us, like, gave us the ball and let us run with it. He trusted us. He was very easy to get along with. He listened to our ideas. And we just loved that it was always such a thing for him to make sure that as many girls as possible were booked on the shows. And that means a lot to us. You know what I mean? That means a lot to us. So he was always easygoing, fun to work with, gave us the ball and let us run with it. And we'll always forever be grateful for that.
He let me do the same, just the most wacky shit. Anything that people ask, like, what was it like when I pitched an idea? It was like, okay, cool. Especially if Vince had anything to do with it. I can't think of one thing. He'd one angle, one idea, one concept, one clothing gimmick, hair, wig that he said no to. Everything was a green light and thanks for putting in the work and then let's make it into what we can. And that's where the jealousy, you know, came into with other people. And it just, well, with one person. Oh, no, a couple. There was a couple of people that were. And there's one person that's constantly bashing me even to this day. And I had no idea that he felt that way about me. And if he thought I sucked, then you know what? Part of that's on you, pal. You should have let me know, like, hey, you could do this better or you're not doing a good job. I remember.
And Larry, you know, just hearing that right now, it's like, at what point do you grow out of that phase? Like, at what point are we all 40-year-old adults and it's still like, well, I remember me. And it's like, oh, no, boy.
I'm not. I wish that he would have, you know, Jerry Lynn helped me out a lot. And even.
Jerry Lynn's awesome.
Totally awesome. I can't remember my guy's name. That's how fried I am today. Oh, my God. Eric Watts came to me and said, you know, I think that we could do this better. Let me tell you why. Like, he was so gentle and so kind and, you know, basically saying, you suck, bitch, but let me help you. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, it's all how you talk to somebody and like,
sure,
you know, like, let them, you don't need to be like, oh.
And not everybody, and we know this, not everybody in the wrestling business grew up watching wrestling, grew up in the business, knows who came before them. I mean, look at all the Diva Search girls. They're just models. They don't know, you know? So it's like, you can treat people one way or you can use your experience and your knowledge and kind of help people. Because I think that those people, like you, probably felt very grateful. You know what
very
I mean?
It's not grateful. Hard.
Yeah.
It's more hurtful when I just hear like somebody just constantly bagging on me that I worked with day in and day out that couldn't. You should have. You know what? If it's my face or my personality, I can't really change that. But if it's whatever is irking you so badly, like that's kind of on you that you should have shared that with me or had fixed it because I would have corrected it. I was a dick back then. I wasn't. I think that when I saw you, I wasn't very nice to you. I wasn't very welcoming or as kind as I could have been. I was just.
I don't remember there being an issue. Like we never hung out after. I never remember you going out after the shows or anything. So we never like actually like spent time together. You know,
and I don't drink, so like everybody was always so shit faced after the shows, or there was bad stuff going down after the shows. Like, and I didn't want to be a part of a lot of that. And that's not that you were doing that, but like, there was just a lot of bad stuff that went down and there's so much debauchery.
No, I wasn't. I was too nervous. Like we would go to Hooters and hang out and stuff, but like, no, I was young and I was like,
oh, after Hooters, okay, yeah. Bad stuff happened. And there's a lot.
I never did after Hooters.
I Hooters was icky for me because I was dating somebody at the time and it was just a lot of like anxiety and like wondering who he was going to cheat on me with that night or it's oh god the stories that I can tell you off air were just hideous
oh I got a bunch too girl
but I just remember, like, there was certain people's houses or condos or places that everybody would go and do coke and do all that.
I've never even seen cocaine. I'm so, like...
I'm not into it. Like, yeah. I know that, that's what it was required to stay in the game for some people, or at least some people thought it was.
Well, but... you know, I dated... I don't know if you know, but I dated one of the guys who did that, especially once it moved to Universal Studios. We were living together in an apartment in Nashville. And until we broke up, and we broke up because he was cheating on me with one of the girls they were using, down, like a Florida girl.
We're going to get off the air right now.
Yeah. And then, like, once we broke up, then everybody was telling me what a cokehead he was. And I was like, what? Like, I've never seen. But it was something that he did down there after the shows, because he would always come home and go straight to bed. And I'm like, oh, well, the show must have been like, what? I remember after we broke up, people were like, how did you not know? And I'm like, I don't know. He never did it here. We never talked about it. Nobody said anything to me about it until now. I had no idea. I was like, oh, like I was like thrown for a loop after that.
I wonder if you were dating my ex, but to be continued.
Oh, I don't think so.
I have all these questions. All this wrestling, and we are at the top of the hour. We're over the hour. That I guess we'll just have to have you on again, and I'll ask.
We'll do a part deux.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do a part deux because, ladies and gentlemen, I like to let things organically and naturally go where they go, because a lot of other, I'm not dissing, but just a lot of other podcasts are the standard stuff, and if somebody goes off on a whim, or we do. Or something organically happens. I just want to entertain that and let it happen, just so that you get something.
An hour goes by fast when you just let things happen organically. An hour is like not enough time for a podcast ever, I don't think.
It does. And today I was supposed to do a 15-minute. It went like an hour and five because we were just talking about crazy shit that happened. And I like that to happen. I appreciate you giving me your time today. And I would be
thanks for having me on.
Be on yours. And I want to make sure that you plug that you have a Patreon, and that for the people that are watching right now, we thank you. We thank the Realm Network. We thank everybody at Russo's Brand and Jeff Lane and Ben Hameen for helping in the Hameen Media Group. And then obviously everybody knows where to follow you, girl. You got more followers than you know what to do with, but go ahead and plug right now. Just so that we have that.
Yeah. So our Patreon is patreon.com/thebeautifulpeople. My Twitter is @actualalove. And then my Instagram, I hate saying my Instagram because like it's so long. It's alove4life222. I might change it at some point, but I remember when I did it, I just wanted it to be like unique and different. But now when I like say it every week when we do our podcast, I'm like, oh my God, it's so long.
And the wrestling league that you're with right now.
Yeah, Ring of Honor. So
Doing that. You're currently filming.
Yes, ROHWrestling.com. There's also an app. We're also on the Fight TV app. Which also has like NWA on it and stuff. But then we also have the Honor Club app. So basically what we're doing right now is we're filming once every 2 months, and we'll be there for like 3-4 days. And we bang out like 6 to 8 weeks content.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just our schedule right now. And I am not complaining.
And then you're on salary for the rest of the time. Obviously that's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
It sounds like it's just an incredible organization to be with.
It is. It's very creative, is so cool. I love the roster. So what's cool about the Ring of Honor roster, and I'll try to do this quickly, is like in wrestling, it's like when you've been in wrestling for a long time, it's like, you know, a ton of people in WWE, you know, a ton of people in TNA, but I didn't know too many people from Ring of Honor. I knew some, like Jay Lethal and like a few people, but there was a ton of people on that roster I've never met before. So it was like very different kind of going in. It was like, oh, I'm just meeting a whole bunch of new people. It's super cool. But what I love about the Ring of Honor shows and the talent is that no matter what, whether we're performing in front of nobody right now, which is what we're doing, or whether we're performing in front of 1,000 people, 3,000, whatever, the guys, and by guys, I mean everybody, it's 110% all the time. And it makes me, you know, 21 years in the business, I love watching shows and feeling like a fan, getting excited about things, popping for something that happens in a match or an entrance or whatever. And I get that from Ring of Honor. And it's really cool. And everybody on the roster is so awesome. And they're so talented. And they give 110% all the time. And it's just like, oh, it's just such a great... it's just so great to be a part of it. It's so cool. Creative is just so easy to talk to, and everybody's so accommodating, and it's just like, I love it.
I was going to have you rant and rave as I was writing down notes, but I can be looking down, let you be the shiner on that. I'm just so glad that things have worked out. And what's in the future? Like, is there anything you can tell us about that might not be wrestling related, or something personal that you're doing that's important, or a cause or a platform, anything like that, that we can mention real quickly before we let you go?
Well, actually, if I could mention somebody else, that would be really cool. So I met this girl, CJ Dunning. You'll see stuff about her on my Instagram. She's heavily shadow banned. She was in NXT for a little bit a few years ago. And she does some wrestling, but she's also like a private investigator, and she helps on her own, like independently, like combat child trafficking. That's her big thing, is combating child trafficking and helping to find kids who have gone missing. And she's the epitome of like an alpha female. She's hot. She's feminine, but she's really strong. She's really determined. She's really driven. And the second her and I met, which was only like 2 months ago, it was like, like we just like immediately bonded. So I'm like always supporting her and her endeavors. She has a PayPal link on her Instagram page, and donations to her go towards her operations to help find missing children, because she's working independently. So I love to just do and support anything that has to do with her. Beautiful people wise, like Velvet's just started in NWA. I'm in Ring of Honor, you know, and in the future, like I turned 40 in September, you know, I've still got a lot left in me. Don't feel my age, trying to not look my age. But, you know, it, like, I've just been in this business for so long. When it comes to me knowing when I'm done physically, I want to move into like a backstage role, because I just feel like I've done TV for so long. I've been in the business for so long. I've literally worked for like every company but AEW. I have a lot to give back to like the future generations and the up and comers. So whether it's being a producer backstage, or an agent, or helping people with promos, because promos just became my thing, or being a trainer, that's what I want to like transition into, because I still love this business. I've been doing it for more than half my life. You know, so it's, I don't really know life without it. So I just feel like I have a lot to give in a different kind of backstage role, you know, in the future when I decide I don't want to do it physically anymore.
Yeah. Wrote all that down. Ladies and gentlemen, Realm Network, thank you so much for having our guest, Angelina.
Thank you for having me. And you're the best. And this is what I love about the wrestling business too, and just all the interconnectedness of it, is that we haven't seen each other or talked in probably...
Yeah, 19 years, 17, 18?
Probably around 17 years, which is insane. But that's what I love about like this stuff. We're doing conventions, is you can see people you haven't seen in years and years and years and years and reconnect. It's the best.
I love it. We always clap at the end. Show your paws. Yay! What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Just doing the daily check-ins on Patreon. Wanted to wish you the greatest start to your week. Come on over to Patreon. We're doing a lot of customized love. We just want to make sure everybody's getting the attention that they need and deserve, and that's merited. We still want to come by on regular social media platforms and say thank you so much for being here, both for me and for the band. Love you. And as always, stay golden.